Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The trade deadline has passed. You will hear Howie Roseman right here on WIP after we talk to Jordan Mailata. Jordan's,
who did not get traded today.
He did not get traded. Thank goodness. We don't know what we would have done at 4 o'clock. This call sponsored by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24-7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, thankfully, you did not get traded, so you're right here for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank God. Jesus, what a way to start this off.
Yeah, you didn't know you were on the block. We've been talking about it for hours. Just kidding.
It was my time.
Yep. So what'd you do? How was your bye week? Do you feel energized and refreshed? What'd you do? You do anything good?
I just went away for a couple of days up in the mountains of New York.
Okay.
Can't remember where it was. Catskills. Like
yep.
Okay.
Catskills. Yeah. It's good.
All right.
Did a little couple of day retreat and then I came back down and support me and the guys came down to support Saquon's gala.
Yeah, so Catskill, New York. That's where Mike Tyson used to train and live.
Yes.
Customato back in the day.
Yeah, the Catskills.
Amazing. Yes.
Beautiful up there in the Catskills.
Never been.
No?
No.
I got tattooed there once.
That's
what they say you do in the Catskills.
Yeah, well, look.
Well, I'd get any tattoos.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe next time. I imagine your body and your mind probably needed the break. Do you feel a little energized? I always know when I take a week off, obviously not physically demanding, but when I take a week off of work, I'm always ready to get back. Are you in point now where you're, you know, where you're refreshed and ready?
Yeah, honestly, that bye week came at a great time. And so for me, I feel ready to go again. Like that was a good break, honestly. It was long, but it also felt short, but it was long. At the start of the week felt so long, and then, you know, as you count down the days, and as soon as the weekend, you're like, oh, damn, we're going back to work next week. Let's go.
It's a little tricky. You look at your last couple of weeks. You guys had the mini bye week in there after you played the Giants on Thursday night, and then you get the bye week right now. And then I look at your next four games. You guys play four games in a span of like 18 days, I believe it is. I think you play Monday night in Green Bay, then you play Sunday night on a short week, then you play Dallas the following week, and then you play Chicago that Friday. I'm just thinking about the herky jerkiness of the schedule for you guys this year and how that sort of impacts your preparation, your rest and recovery, and how you guys are feeling right now. And you got a long stretch coming down here for the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think our strength and conditioning staff, as well as our athletic staff in the training room, they work in tandem with the coaches to get, you know, a good routine done for us players to be able to come in, feel fresh, also give us time on the back end. I think that's, you know, probably the biggest up from last year, or not from last year, but from previous years of having no post-practice meetings. That was just one area where we could dedicate more time to our body's recovery, getting rehab done. So that was one area last year that we improved on from the year before that, and we've carried it onto this year. So, you know, like I said, the trainer's working in tandem with our coaches, especially with Nick, to give us the time, make a schedule where we're coming in and getting the most work done for our bodies, but also enough time to be on the field and get the work done that we need to be done.
So you don't play as many games as these other sports, but in other sports, sometimes we talk about when a team has a week off in baseball or basketball, they can lose a little bit of sharpness in that time. This time having the week off, good for your mind and good for your body, of course. You guys were really starting to figure out the run game the last 2 weeks. Does it take some time to get back into the groove of what you were doing, and any sort of concern that you lose a little bit of the momentum you were building there?
Listen, I think so. I think that can happen if you allow it. However, I just don't think that we will allow that kind of, you know, slow start to happen again. I think just coming back and reflecting on the last eight weeks that we've played, looked at all the games and see where we can improve. That's one part of the area, of improvement, just the urgency to have to correct our mistakes. Even though the last 2 weeks have looked good, there are always things to clean up. And so that's just what we've been doing. We understand where we've been at and where we need to get to. And those have been an emphasis the last couple of days of trying to clean up so we can get back to the ball.
So we mentioned you, of course, did not get traded, but you do have a few new teammates in that the Eagles have traded for Michael Carter II. In between the last time we talked, Michael Carter II traded for Jalen Phillips, also traded for Jair Alexander. You've been on one team your entire NFL career. How tough do you imagine it would be to be plopped down on a new team with new teammates and new coaches? We know Jalen Phillips has played for Vic before. How difficult do you think that would be to change teams in the middle of a year, especially to a team that's competing for a Super Bowl like you guys?
Yeah, I would have to think it's pretty hard, you know, to just uproot where you've been at for the last couple of years, you know, especially for Jalen, and then, you know, just to come to a whole new team, whole new city. And, you know, I think thankfully I haven't experienced that. And so, you know, the best part about, you know, getting new teammates is I know the locker room that they're coming into, and they're going to love it here. They're going to make it easy for them to transition, both on and off the field. And so, you know, going to make a home for them right away. And that's the beauty about coming to our culture, our locker room.
One of the things that I think makes us encouraged about players coming here is that over the last couple of years, we've seen players who were in situations that were not that great. You know, Mekhi Becton with the Jets, Saquon with the Giants, Zach Bond with the Saints. And then they get here and just sort of energized by not only the locker room, but the ability to compete. And it almost seems to have brought the best out of players that may have had more to give than they were able to give in their previous situations.
Yeah, I would love to say that it is all culture, but at the same time, it's coaching as well. Coaching and culture are probably the two biggest things that we have an edge on, you know. And now, for guys to come here and excel, they have to want to take that coaching and apply it. They have to. They want to. You know, it's one thing to get coached, but if you're not carrying that onto the field, it doesn't matter. And so, the guys who are here, and the guys who took that coaching and played it or did it on the field, you know, that's the reason why they excelled. And so, you know, I would love to sit back and say it's the culture, but, you know, in all honesty, it's both culture and coaching. That's the biggest thing that we have here.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, the culture is set. It's great. I know you guys don't want to be identified as defending champions, but damn it, you are defending champions.
Yeah, whether you like it or not.
And it's getting into that time of the season, and I know it's one game a week, so I'm not going to ask you to think 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road or anything of that nature. But you've been in the league long enough. You played at 2 Super Bowls. You won one. You know what November and December and January football is all about. I'm just want to get an idea or a sense of, I guess, the excitement level when we get to this time of the year that, you know, we're past the whole filling out phase of the league year. Now it's time to establish yourself as one of those teams. You feel sort of excited about the second half of the season and sort of trying to go out and attain your goals that you guys set before the year.
Yeah, we're so excited. This is what seems like a whole new season for us. I think the bye week was perfect. To us, it's right in the middle of our season. So, you know, for us, it just feels like, okay, we've got our break. We know what we need to improve on, what we've done the last couple of weeks as a team. And so now it's how can we fix that, how we can apply that moving forward with some urgency. And so, man, guys have been hungry. Even today. We were in today. We had this, you know, because we play on Monday. It's just a little weird schedule. We had an extra day. And we got some work done today. Mm-hmm. So just even us flying around on the field today, man, just that hunger to continue to carry that momentum, the stacking of the blocks that we did, you know, the last 2 weeks. That's the one thing that we're going to continue, just to keep building off what we did the last 2 weeks. And so heading into, you know, November, December, January football, just playing with that urgency, with that intent, that is, you know, paramount for us.
All right, Jordan.
That is going to carry us.
I'm sorry. You had a dramatic pause there. That's on me. That's on me, man. That's on me. My timing's off. My timing's off, too. Bye week for me, too. All right, man. Well, good luck on Monday, and we will talk to you after. And welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, brother. Yes, sir.
So let's talk to Jim Salisbury. It's just unbelievable covering the Phils. Has been for a number of years. And one of the great people in the Philadelphia sports scene. And really a trusted voice. When you want to know, how could this shake out? What are the chances of Schwarber? What are the chances of JT? Let's turn to our guy, Jim Salisbury. Jim, how you been, bud?
Well, Joe, thank you for that kind introduction. The check is in the mail.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir. So, Jim, here's the big old question. What the heck's going to happen this offseason? But let's break it down in a couple different ways. Before we go individual player, let me just start with this concept, because it could certainly be in the middle, but which of these two extremes do you think is more likely? That they turn the page on a lot of successful Phillies who are going to get big contracts from someone and are aging, that they turn the page and go younger and not bring all those guys back, or they bring all those guys back. Which extreme is more likely?
The latter, that they bring guys back. And I don't think they're going to bring them all back. Obviously, you got four prominent free agents, two of them they really, really want to bring back. That's Schwarber and Realmuto. Ranger, probably going to be a budget cut. And, you know, Bader, they're going to, you know, stay on his market and see what it takes. There's definite interest. But, you know, I don't know which way that's going to go. I think they'd be happy to have him back, but they're also going to monitor where his market goes. I think they have a...
Sure.
You know, I don't think they want to go overboard on that. But the big priorities are Realmuto and Schwarber.
To what extent, and this goes specifically for Middleton as the owner, and he used to be not the principal guy out front, and he's become the principal guy out front, of course, since the passing of David Montgomery. To what extent does the ghost of the 2012 through like the 2017 Phillies, when they aged and stunk, to what extent does the carcass of those 5 or 6 years play a part, in your opinion, in Middleton's mind, of whether he'll be willing to give JT a third or fourth year, whether he'll be willing to give Schwarber a fifth or sixth year? How do you size that up?
We all remember those, you know, those dark years after the great run, when they got old and they started breaking down and they started losing, and it was a wasteland, baseball wasteland around here. But I think that's in the back of their mind. but I don't think it's going to stop them in being aggressive on those two guys, because I think they know how important they are to this team and to this team in relation to where it is on its winning curve. There's still some tread on this Coors tire, and you know, they're committed to it. What are you supposed to do? Turn around now? You got Harper for six more years. You got Turner for seven more years, whatever it is. They're both $300 million players. You got Wheeler at $42 million a year. You got a good pitching staff, and you got a team that won 96 games. And I can almost guarantee you that they're going to play in October next year.
Yeah.
You got to take your shot. You got to keep taking your shot. You just can't let the core die on the vine and not support it with such integral players. Kyle Schwarber and the power he brings and the impact he has from the batter's box to the clubhouse. JT Realmuto, from the impact he has behind the plate right through the clubhouse. So I really, really believe in my heart that both guys are going to return. I think they both like it here. And I think the Phillies are going to do what it takes. And it's probably going to be an extra year in both cases. Ideally, JT is probably a two-year deal at this stage of his career, like 2 times 15. They got to go 3 to get him off the market, keep him away from Buster Posey. I think John Middleton does it.
Wow.
And I think if you know, ideally Schwarber's like a 4-year deal, 30-ish, 31, 32, who knows where this market's going to go. If it takes 5 to get him right back here, I think they'll do it. And if you get 2 good ones out of JT and 4 good ones out of Schwarber, that's kind of the way the game works. Everybody gets that extra year, and you take what you can get, and they're going to take a shot at winning this thing in the next few years. But I feel pretty confident that they're going to get something done with both guys, because both of them like it here. And don't underestimate the return of Kevin Long, the hitting coach, as it pertains to Kyle Schwarber's desire to stay. And his desire to stay strong to begin with, but that's his guy. That's the guy who helped turn around his career.
Okay.
And Kevin Long recently, just recently got like a 3-year contract extension. To me, that's all part of the calculus retaining Kyle Schwarber.
Interesting. And how real is the possibility of Don Mattingly as bench coach?
Real. In that it's been seriously discussed by the organization. You know, there might be a complication. His son is the GM, as we all know, but maybe that's not a complication. But, you know, they are on record as saying they want to have a bench coach with major league managerial experience. He's managed 2 teams. He's got a history with Rob Thomson dating back to their time as staffers on the Yankees. He's got a history with Kevin Long. Obviously, his son's there. And he's a good baseball man. You know, on that coaching staff, there's a real dearth of major league experience on the playing side, and he would really bring some of that. So he might bring some different kind of voice in that clubhouse and a different level of respect. So they have talked about it. Dave Dombrowski wants it, from what I've heard. That's his kind of guy. And we'll see where it goes. Obviously, Don Mattingly has left the door open to stay in baseball. He would like to manage, but I don't think any of the managerial openings that are still around intrigue him. But coming here and trying to get a ring here with his son, I think would be a hell of a story. And I don't think it's like one of these, throw him a bone
it's
things.
Not...
This guy would be a major contributor.
So if you're Topper, that would not be a situation where you'd feel threatened by Don Mattingly because of the shared history with the Yankees together?
It's a great question. It's a natural question. I just think Rob Thomson's too secure in his own skin to be threatened by anybody. It's the guy almost retired a couple of years ago. I think he's looking at this as gravy. He wants a World Series championship in the worst way, and I think he's open to anything that would help.
Sure.
I also think if they hired Don Mattingly, it wouldn't be the worst thing if Don stood up at the press conference and said, I have no desire to ever manage this team. I'm here to help. I'm here to help this team get where it wants to go and see what happens. I'm here to help loved ones and friends and see what happens. And if they ever made a change, maybe they'd go a different route. So I don't think he would be hired, if he's hired, to be the next manager. You never know. I think they would have other ways they could go there. But at this point, you can't worry about any of that stuff. 4 years in the playoffs, coming up short, and 2 really three really painful exits the last 3 years. I don't care how you get it done. You just got to get it done. It doesn't matter who's doing what.
So who's the real Harrison Bader? Is it the guy that we saw for the portion of last season changed the fate of this Phillies team to some degree, or is it the less exciting version that we saw everywhere else in his career?
That's the big question about, you know, why I think they're pondering what they want to commit to him. I think they'd love to have what we saw the first 6-8 weeks that he was here. Then he kind of faded off, then he got hurt. They love the energy. They obviously need a right-handed bat in the worst way. But, you know, he does have a track record. He's been released once. He's bounced around. He's kind of got a journeyman's profile. And is he a journeyman or is he the guy that had 6 or 8 weeks? That's why they get paid the big bucks to make that, you know, that appraisal. I personally think he's probably closer to the journeyman-type player. That said, I think he can contribute if he ends up back here. But I would have my eye on bigger fish in the right-handed bat category.
Well, Jim, let's talk about some of them, Jim. So let's, and again, Jim Salisbury with us here right now. Jim, of the external free agents, the big ones, and there's 4 or 5 big names, which do you think would be the best fit for the Phillies? Which do you think is the most likely to join the Phillies?
It all depends on what happens with Schwarber and Realmuto, especially Schwarber, because that's going to be your big ticket, your biggest ticket. I mean, if he leaves, you're going to have extra budget, and you could and you're going to have a need for a DH. Maybe it's Pete Alonso. He would really intrigue me.
Yeah.
If both of those guys come back, Realmuto and Schwarber, your payroll is going to be pinched, but I don't think it's going to be exhausted. And I, as a guy who has kind of watched John Middleton over the years, sometimes when the right opportunity is there, he tweaks things. He pushes the payroll a little bit. So if you could move, say, a Bohm and clear his $10 million or a Stott and clear his, I think it's going to be $6 or $7 million, you know, and maybe with clearing that money, he tweaks it a little bit and you're in the Bo Bichette sweepstakes. I think that would be such a wonderful fit. Right-handed bat who can hit at the top or in the middle, who's contact, who can drive the ball. You could play him at second, depending on what happens, with Stott. You could play him at third, depending on what happens with Bohm. I think.
Well, it sounds like you don't think Bohm is part of the plan, Jim.
I'm not saying he's not part of the plan. I just think it's an inflexible roster, and he's one of the pieces that there is a path to move on from him, a path to include him in a trade. He's got some value. He's sure. Last year before free agency. There are teams out there looking for third baseman, not wanting to spend the money on Bregman. So, you might be able to trade him. You might be able to trade a Stott. Other than that, I don't see, Marsh. You might be able to trade a Marsh. I don't know how much value he has, but it's an inflexible roster with the no trade clauses and the high salaries. Yeah. It's tough to move guys. I mean, I do expect to see, you're going to see a change in the starting lineup because Castellanos is going to move on. Another right-handed bat I might keep an eye on is Byron Buxton. He's a guy who's had a long history of injuries, soft tissue injuries, but he did stay pretty healthy last year, and he had a monster year. When he is healthy, he is a dynamic defensive and offensive player. Right-handed bat, hits for power, plays center field, but he has been adamant that he's not waiving his no-trade clause. Would he, would he reconsider this winter now that Minnesota is really scaling back? I mean, they moved 12 players last year at the deadline. Maybe. I certainly would make that call. I think he's probably going to continue to want to stay in Minnesota, but I would make that call. So those are all right-handed bats that I would be taking a peek at. And depending on the opportunity, even if Schwarber and Realmuto return, I've seen John, push the payroll when the opportunity presents itself. Mm-hmm. We saw it way back when with Jim Thome. We saw it more recently with Castellanos. Spring training had started. Castellanos was still there. Dave Dombrowski said, need $20 million. John said, let's do it. So you just never know how this offseason is going to evolve. I mean, I think back to last year, Lizardo was a great trade. That wasn't on anybody's radar at this time of year.
Yep.
So things do evolve in the course of an offseason. They need some fresh blood. They need a right-handed bat to augment, the core that they do have. I don't expect a ton of change, but I think there'll be enough change that, you know, you'll look at it and say, okay, you know, go get them with what you got.
James. How much of an upgrade would Alex Bregman be over Alec Bohm? Is it negligible offensively, but Bregman gives you, I don't know, a little more consistency emotionally, and that's the focus on what you're looking for there?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, Bregman has had some decline recently. You know, I think he might be a little overpriced at this point. You know, he walked away from $80 million in Boston. But he is a winning player. He brings you contact. He can hit for power. He can do some of the, you know, things in terms of driving the ball that we thought Bohm would do more of, and we didn't see enough of this year. So, Bregman's an interesting guy, but, you know, over 30, and this team is old already and getting old. I would, if you're going to go and get another piece beyond Schwarber and Realmuto, and I still think there's a chance they could do something like that, Bobichet is a guy that would really, like I said, really, really intrigue me. Because, you know, we got Bellinger
he's
and
tough.
You got Tucker out.
Yeah, it's great.
Bellinger and Tucker are out there. I've seen people throw those names around. They're left-handed bats. This team needs a right-handed bat to put behind
Bryce. He's got the
Harper.
Attitude like, I guess.
Well, yeah, Jim, I mean, I would put it this way. To me, they haven't had a right-handed hitting four-hole hitter since Reese Hoskins in 2022. I mean, they just have.
Yeah,
I mean,
they thought they were getting one Castellanos. They thought they were getting one Castellanos. They thought Bohm would blossom into that. It hasn't happened. No. You got to make it happen. You got to get somebody to protect the mothership and Bryce Harper, get him some more pitches. And he's also, you know, he puts a ton of pressure on himself. He's got to, you know, stop trying to carry in all the load and just let it happen. Because he's a guy who cares a lot, cares about his numbers, cares about being great. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. The whole team needs to stop putting tons of pressure on itself. That's been an enemy of theirs the last few Octobers, in my opinion.
Sure.
The pressure they put on themselves.
Jim Salisbury here. Jim, a couple really key things to get through in this segment, and we appreciate the extended time here. So do you have any inkling? We haven't heard John Middleton speak publicly since they lost. Do you have any inkling what he's thinking and how he is impacting others around him in that organization? I'm curious if you think Dombrowski's comments about Bryce, if that in any way comes from the mindset of Middleton. What do you know or not know about what Middleton's been doing behind the scenes?
I just know it's kind of business as usual. He wants to win a World Series. And, you know, there was heartbreak, disappointment that, you know, they didn't go further this year. It didn't happen. He wants it desperately. I think Dave's comments, you know, I think they were from the heart. I kind of think there's a difference between a subtle difference between the word criticized and the word critique. I think it was more of an honest critique. And I also think it's probably been talked about upstairs, that very topic.
Well, and Jim, it should be, but it was public this time. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't remember since Bobby Clark challenged Lindros in the late 90s, I don't remember a superstar in Philly sports. I agree with you, it was a critique. I agree with you, it was accurate. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, it's been privately discussed.
And Jim, you just said
that he publicly discussed.
That he puts a lot of pressure on himself. I can't imagine that this lessens the pressure on him.
I mean, this tells me something's more on a personal level. I just got to believe something's more personal.
I just think that, you know, organization-wide, or at least upstairs, front office-wide, they thought there was more there. I thought, you know, Dave neglected to point out that the guy played hurt for a good bit. And that, you know, if he didn't miss a month, his numbers are probably better. But I think Bryce was frustrated in his season. I think the team expected more out of him. And I think Dave kind of spoke from the heart in that. I don't know if you can anticipate that question. And he just, you know, gave an honest answer. I hear all these conspiracies that it has something to do with the contract. There's more to it. They want to trade him. They're trying to, you know, trying to antagonize him so they can trade him. So he waives his no trade clause. I don't think that's remotely true. I hear stuff about the extension. I don't think that's remotely true because I don't think Dave handles that extension. I think it's above him. I think it's at the ownership level between Scott Boras and John Middleton. I just think they thought there was more there, and Dave answered the question from the heart, and it kind of blew up on him. And I was there when I heard it. My ears perked right up. I'm like, wow, this sounds like a challenge. But I don't know that it was premeditated because I don't know that you can anticipate that question. But like I said, I'm sure it's something that's been rattling around in a bunch of people's heads upstairs, probably including John Middleton. But, you know, that said, I know Bryce Harper, and he's a guy who, you know, he's a proud man, and we'll see. You know, remember when the Braves shortstop made that comment about him and he went out the next night and hit two home runs and looked him down? I think if Bryce channels this right, it could be a hell of a motivator for him to come back and have a big season because God knows they need him.
Yeah. Well, that's another theory, that it was just a challenge to irk him. I mean, Bill Parcells used to do that, and, you know, maybe it was just that type of motivation.
I don't think he set out to publicly irk him. I just think he offered an honest critique that we've all seen. It was a really good year. Yeah. It wasn't an elite year. And I didn't think it was particularly harsh. And but it was interpreted that way in some quarters.
Sure.
And you know, one of them being Bryce. So I think that
was kind of the big one who interpreted it poorly.
Well,
everybody's got to move by it. He's not going anywhere. John wants him to go to the Hall of Fame with a Phillies hat on, and I think he will.
And I just don't see a big conspiracy behind this. I just think it was one guy offered his opinion, and it kind of blew up. And now Harper can go and have his say, you know, starting, what, March 28th?
Sure. Jim, couple final things. Should they bring Kirkering back? And this is a double-edged question. How it ended literally at the end, but also a couple years in a row now where he hasn't felt trustworthy in the postseason, and you're going to be back in the postseason, and you want guys you can trust. Should they bring Kirkering back?
If there's an opportunity to trade him or move him in a package that ultimately helps you get better, he wouldn't hold up a deal for me. But I think he's probably – we're going to get the – whether he can survive that, we're not going to know until April, May, June, you know, July, if he's back till the games and the intensity ramps up and how he deals with it. He's going to get a huge ovation on opening day if he's here. And then it's up to him to kind of he's got talent. It's up to him to build on it. But, you know, it starts with being able to locate his fastball, because that's where his problem is. But should they just trade him because of this? I wouldn't just trade him because of this. I would only trade him if I thought, you know, I could get better.
I mean, I'll just say from my standpoint, Jim, I view his playoff issues over three seasons as much more important to consider trading him than
how
it
ended.
Like Mitch after 93, I think everyone's like, all right, cannot do it. Cannot bring him back 94. I don't view it like that. I just view it like, you know, do I want Kirkland in the seventh inning of a playoff game in 2026?
It's a valid question, valid observation. Him and Mitch are at different stages of their career. This is still a young player. Maybe they've seen enough that, yeah, we're going to move on for him. But I tell you what, I would not give him away. I would just not give him away.
I agree with that.
Because he had a bad day. I would give it some time to see how much that bad day shapes him going forward, and then I would make that decision. But I would be open to trading a lot of players if it provided me with an eventual upgrade. And he'd be one of those guys, young enough, cheap enough, somebody might have some interest.
All right, Jim, final thing. I don't know if you know, but the Hammer got to victory 299 today and beat the Hammer.
Yeah.
And
Jim, I apologize for whatever this question's about today.
And Jim, James Seltzer has an obligation.
Oh, is that
to get
the word?
One of the living 300 game winners on the show next week or the following week to welcome me to the 300 win club. There are six living 300 game winners, and I'm curious which one you think James has the best chance to get on the program. So, Jim, is it Maddux, Clemens, Carlton, Nolan Ryan, Glavin, or Randy Johnson? Who does James have the best chance to have, you know, join the program to welcome me?
Oh boy! Wow. You know, Glavin's a great guy. I think you could probably get in touch with him. Ruben probably knows Steve Carlton. Maybe Steve Carlton. You know, there might be some Phillies connections that could help you. Maybe,
but he might not. But he might not answer the question. He might be on the line and then just go silent.
I would love to hear Steve Carlton introduce you.
So would all of Philadelphia. It's very rare that he decides to hop on the radio.
Jim, could you imagine Seltzer?
One time in the history of Angelo's show, right, Steve Carlton? Yeah.
One time,
Roger,
yes.
One time.
Roger Clemens, post-retirement, has developed quite a personality. He might be...
If only Cody were still here, right?
He's really fun on Twitter. He really is.
Cody were here, it's all Philly thing.
Yep.
Send him a tweet. It's too bad. Yeah. My good friend, the late, great Don Sutton, who I developed a really nice relationship with because, you know, he was a broadcaster for so long in the NL East. Great guy. He's a 300-game winner.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Passed away a few years ago. I really miss him. I could have gotten you him.
Oh.
but I think Glavin's a tremendous guy. Like most New Englanders, and
I had to get
editorializing there a little bit, Jim.
That's
and
awesome.
I would shoot for Clemens. I think he's developed a really kind of a cool personality.
Okay.
And he's timely. He's going to be back on the Hall of Fame ballot in a few.
Yeah,
weeks.
That's true.
So maybe,
Seltzer, do your job. In the words of Bill Belichick, do your job, Seltzer. do your job.
But congratulations. I mean, that's a thank hell you. Of an accomplishment.
Is it, Jim?
Are you kidding?
Hey, Jim, thanks for being a good sport there at the end and obviously the tremendous insight on the Phillies. We look forward to talking to you throughout the offseason. Jim, final thing. Do you agree with this statement? I think it's true. Most interesting Phillies offseason on the horizon ever. Yes or no?
I don't know because there's been a ton of them. I've covered this team for so long. I mean, you're going to tell me that Jim Thome offseason wasn't fascinating?
Well, but here's the thing. That was simple in a certain way. I either convinced Thome to join or I don't. Like, this isn't.
There's a lot more moving parts here.
Yeah.
I guess that's what Joe's trying to
say. Yeah, and it's complicated.
This is fascinating, but it also could be simple because, you know, you get Schwarber and Realmuto back. It's going to have an effect on what else you can do. Unless John wakes up and says, Dave, you know, go, guns ablaze.
Get them
but
all.
To me,
spend Dodgers money, Dave. Go do it.
The most fascinating thing to me is once again, next October. That's going to define this team because I think they're going to get back there. And I don't care if they get back there as the third wild card team. You get hot, you have a chance to make your dreams come true.
I totally agree. Jim, stay well. We love having you on the program. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. Have a great
thanks,
week.
Jim.
Jim Salisbury. He is a
awesome.
Fountain of information.
You get more information out of him in 15 minutes than you get from most people.
To WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us in just 2 minutes is the great Mike Mayock. I won't ask Mike about Willie Lampkin. Is that the agreement I got to make with you guys that I can't ask him about the?
No, you should.
I can ask him.
I think it would be interesting from a former exec. Like, is this frowned upon?
Well, yes, what they did, and if he even remembers it, and then him as the player. I don't know if he's going to have any insight on Willie Lampkin. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers with locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's Jewelers Minutes from everywhere online at marks-jewelers.com. Go ahead. This is something we're actually going to have to discuss after we talk to Mike Mayock.
Okay.
Because the new Twitter question is a woe is me Jack question that we will have to get to afterwards. I don't even want to
get just the question.
No. It's woe is me. There's woe.
There's
here.
No woe.
There's woe.
I was driving in thinking about it today.
I didn't even look at it.
Oh, yeah. I don't even, don't look at
okay.
it. I want to ask you. Oh, it's sad, Jack. Yeah.
I will say this about Willie Lampkin first.
Yes.
You do realize he's the same height as TK.
No.
TK's not 5'10".
TK's like 5'6".
TK's 5'5".
I thought TK was 5'10".
In what world?
Yeah, I'm 5'11". TK,
you're not that much taller than TK.
Are you kidding me? I'm like
What is TK, 5'8"?
No, he's like 5'6", 5'7".
He's not 5'6".
He is. TK's a little guy.
You think he's 5'10"?
I thought he was. He played middle linebacker.
Yeah, well, for a 3-win football team.
Yeah. How tall do you think TK is?
I think he's 5'6".
There you go. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because wow. Elliott's like 5'8", right?
5'8", 5'9".
Yeah.
Perfectly average height.
Yeah. Well, okay. No.
Like, yeah. I mean, TK's shorter than Elliott. And Elliott's a shorter fellow.
Yeah, Elliott's shorter than me.
Have you seen TK?
Yeah.
You can almost stand on TK.
Yeah. It's like, you know how sometimes you're in the kitchen, you'll accidentally step on the dog because you don't see him? That's TK. Joining us now, as he does every Thursday at 4, the great Mike Mayock. You can hear him every week on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We need a football game here, Mike. This bye week, long bye week. It feels like for the Eagles, you know. So we're itching to get some football on Monday. We did have the trade deadline. Tuesday. Eagles got Jalen Phillips. How much of Jalen Phillips have you watched, and are you optimistic about what he can add this year?
I've done a lot of Jalen Phillips over the last several years. Interviewed him when he came out of Miami. Spent some time with the kid, watched a lot of his tape over the years. And what I think he is, we'll talk about injuries in a second, but when he's healthy, he went in the first round for a reason. He's dominant. He's a power outside rusher, with enough speed and change of direction to cause all kinds of problems. And what I love about him is he also can kick inside. And he's very effective on centers and guards. So you can kind of envision a NASCAR package when Nolan Smith gets back with Nolan Smith and Jalik Hunt outside Jalen Carter inside along with Jalen Phillips. And that gets me going a little bit. Now, the downside is he was hurt the last 2 years. Both serious, you know, an Achilles and an ACL, I believe. I had a Miami game earlier this year, which meant I did some of their tape, and I thought he was just about all the way back. He was inside, he was outside, he was aggressive, he was physical. They gave up a third-round pick, and they had two, and the third that they gave up, obviously, was their own, which should be at the end of the round, and they were able to keep their pick from the Jets. So, for me, you know, you guys were talking last week or the week before about the what's his face in Cleveland? You know,
Miles Garrett. Yeah.
Yeah, Miles Garrett. And I told you it was less than 1% of a chance, and you guys were not happy with me.
Nope.
but this is the guy all along I thought they should target. And I think it's a really good move by a general manager that I hear Spike thinks gets too much attention.
No. Oh. Well, I'm glad you're listening to the show. I didn't say he gets too much attention. What I believe happens here, and we do this both ways, is we because he is good at what he does, and because we are happy with him, we judge every move he makes as being great simply because he did it. And I don't have any problem with the Jalen Phillips acquisition. My point is when you look at what the moves they made in the offseason, the players they let go, I'm not talking about the big money players. I'm talking about the small money players and what they are trying to remedy now in the middle of the season, which is difficult in the NFL. I think you could look back at this year and say this particular year, he did that. It's not a great job this year.
So I had a buddy text me and say, hey, you need to go. You need to Google Spike's rant on Howie.
So oh, no.
Yes. I like this. You're even checking out tape on the show, Mike.
And last thing, Mike, most of my ire is not toward Howie, who I think is great at his job. I'm happy he's the general manager. It is the reaction that the moves get, because I get frustrated that I can't have a normal conversation with Eagles fans about it because they're so... Because he did it, it must be good.
Yeah. He doesn't like when we say it's Howie season and we approve of the moves.
And people dump on Maury.
Take the Maury thing out of it. Take the Maury thing out of it. All I heard this offseason.
Mike's still there, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking to Mike. All I heard this offseason when I said, hey, who's going to play cornerback two? Everybody's like, he knows Kelly Ringo's going to be awesome. And then when we let Josh Sweat go, I said, who's going to put pressure on the quarterback? They're like, it's going to be fine. And then we let Mekhi Becton go, and everybody's like, it's Stellan Yu. And here we are. We can't get pressure on the quarterback. We're going through a turnstile at CB2, and we've had one great rushing game for the best rushing team in the NFL last year. So my position was that all these moves that everybody was telling me that were okay were not okay.
Okay, so let's take this one at a time.
Okay.
All right. So while you're talking to me, you just called him a great GM.
Yes.
In the rant that you had the other day, you called him a good GM.
Interesting.
Which is, in my opinion, highly insulting to the job he's done. All these, quote, off-season mistakes that you just recanted, they don't happen in a vacuum. Okay? They happen, especially coming off a season where you won a Super Bowl and you've kicked the can down the road as far as you can with salary cap acquisitions, and you have to shed cap. And while you're doing that, you've got to get under the cap officially by a date certain. You've got to shed the cap, and then you've got to have a 3-year plan going forward for how you're going to sign your valuable guys that are coming up in the next year or two. You've got to have a reserve that you can make acquisitions with during the season. You can't just spend all your cap and say, hey, we're going to spend $20 million on Josh Sweat. We're going to give Mekhi Becton eight.
I'm going to put that to side and say Isaiah Rodgers at four or Azeez Ojulari at five. Like, and they just gave, they were ready to give Za'Darius Smith $9 million. They gave Brandon Graham $5 million.
Yes. When you're looking things in hindsight, it's really fun.
But I wasn't saying it in hindsight. See, this is the no. I respect you a great deal. I said these things were mistakes at the time. I'm not looking back in hindsight. Everything I have to say is on the record. I do 4 hours of radio every single day, and I'm wrong sometimes, and I'm right sometimes, and I have to eat it when I'm wrong.
You're good. I get that. Okay, and you are on record, and I respect that. Isaiah Rodgers, of all that group, was the one I kind of went, I wish they could hold on to somehow. But they had backfilled with other offensive linemen, okay? Becton was looking for a payout, and they weren't willing to pay him what he wanted, and I don't blame them. Josh Sweat was, in their mind, aging guy that's going to get a payout for somebody else. I would, in my opinion, much rather have Jalen Phillips right now, to be honest with you, and see what happens. He's making $13 million, and if he has to be paid more, he's 27 years old, and he has some injury issues 100%, but so does Josh Sweat. He had him coming out of Florida State. He's got him now. So the thing is, you're not privy to all the issues inside that building and all the decisions that have to be made by that guy on a daily basis to keep them financially where they need to be for the next 3 years.
So
you have no idea what the big plan is.
I don't. But here's my question. If he was asked dead set Tuesday, did you attempt to trade for Myles Garrett? Did you trade for Micah Parsons? He did not deny either of those things. So if we agree that there is smoke, at least, and if there is smoke, then there is at least interest. Like, we are continued to be told that he can make anything work under the salary cap if he wants to. In fact, what's the gentleman's name who was on with us?
Jake Rosenberg.
Jake Rosenberg told us the salary cap's not an issue. It's not an issue. Not an issue for the Eagles. Never an issue for the Eagles. They can always figure it out. It's a cash issue. It's money. And that's fine if the issue is money. But my only point is, I'm not privy to the inside conversation. And again, this goes to the conversation I have with our listeners every day. Neither are they. My only point is, you can be a great GM. You can be a great player who has a bad year. And you have to be able to acknowledge that when a great player has a bad year, that he had a bad year. It's fine. It doesn't mean he's not a great player. It just means he had a bad year. And I think if you're shopping for a starting cornerback, and starting edge at the trade deadline, when you knew there were issues at the beginning of the season, and I think that's an issue. And I don't think he's had a great season.
And again, I don't think he's had a bad season. I think he's had a great season, to be honest with you. And that's what bothers me, is that when you're coming off kind of a historic run at the Super Bowl last year with talent levels like what they've had, you've got to shed talent. And, yeah, when you're talking about one player in a vacuum, whether it's Micah Parsons or any good GM can make a cap work with his salary cap people over time, if they have the time to work it over that period of time. Okay, we have to absorb this, or the dead cap is this. You can figure it all out, but it's always at the risk of the rest of your roster. You can make one move work. Like, that's not fair to say that. You can make any one move work, but it affects the rest of your roster.
Do you think it's affected their roster, the fact that they were paying Bryce Huff to play for the 49ers this year? Like, do you think that could have affected the move they made at edge?
You could play that game with all 32 NFL teams and look at their dead cap.
I know, but we do a show about the Eagles, so we're talking about the Eagles. And my point was, we don't have to give. We can say that Howie Roseman is doing, on the whole, a very good job without specifically saying that every move was a very good move. That was my point.
Super Bowl. Two of the last 3 years.
Yes.
They've been in the playoffs 7 of the last 8. It bothers the hell out of me that you don't give him the courtesy of understanding that he knows what the hell he's doing. He's probably the best GM in the league. Okay? And his record backs it up. So I guess just to finish this conversation, because we got a Green Bay game to talk about, it bothers me because you're not giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I think he's earned it.
As we end this, I hardly give anybody the benefit of the doubt. I give him the benefit of the doubt in that on the whole,
he will end up doing, I believe he will do a good job. I don't think he deserves, I don't think anybody deserves the benefit of the doubt to say this move that you made, even if it made sense to you, ended up not being a good move. Is that fair?
I agree that Becton and Sweat were bad moves. But let it all play out.
Okay. We'll let it all play out.
Becton hardly played. Becton's been hurt most of the year.
Well,
I mean,
they knew Becton would be hurt.
Tonight. Great.
Huh? They knew Becton would be hurt.
Oh, now we're going to play that game.
No, you just said he got hurt. You just said he got hurt.
Let's talk about Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, that's a tough. We're good. That's a tough game that Green Bay's coming off of, Mike, against Carolina. This game with the Eagles, long rest. I'm wondering. My big question coming into this game, Mike. Can the Eagles build off of what they did those last two games before the bye week? The game against Minnesota looked good, explosive plays through the air, and that game against the Giants, although it was the Giants, at least the running game was rebirth in that game. So I'm just wondering, can the Eagles, going into this game and really the second half, can they continue that sort of momentum and build off of what they did in the right before the bye week?
Yeah, I think that conversation goes both ways. Like, it's interesting because the people in Green Bay are probably asking the same thing about their own inconsistencies, but obviously, you know, they've lost to Cleveland and then they lose a home game to Carolina.
Yeah.
When they don't even punt the football. Mm. Right. And they score 13 points.
Yeah.
So it's hard to not punt and score 13 points, but they figured out how to do it against a very, very average at best team. So you've got a quarterback there in Jordan Love who's I don't even know who he is yet. You know, 23, I thought he was an up-and-coming potential franchise quarterback. Thought he took a step back last year. This year, he's been up and down. He looks great 1 week, and then, you know, he threw an interception last week. I still don't understand why he threw it. It was first and 10. He threw it in the middle of three defenders.
Yep.
So – at the end of the day, I think they're an inconsistent team, and I think the Eagles have been inconsistent but building in the right direction, which is what you're alluding to. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of excited to see on defense what they do with Jalen Phillips. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they continue on the defensive side to figure out who that second corner ultimately is going to be and how do you package Cooper DeJean with that combination of slots and corners that they have signed.
Yeah.
And on offense, you know, Green Bay is really good against the run. They're fourth or fifth in the league against the run.
Okay.
I think you can get into their secondary a little bit. But I do think it's even more about the Eagles than it is about Green Bay, Ike, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
You know, to your point, continue to develop on the things they've done well, continue to get under center, play action, mm-hmm. get the ball to your wideouts, mm-hmm. but continue to run the football and continue to be aggressive about it. And, you know, I think Petullo versus Halfley, the coordinators, are going to be really, really intriguing to watch in this game.
This NFC, man, it is stacked, Mike, and this second half of the season is going to be awesome to watch how this sort of shapes itself out. These next 2 weeks for the Eagles are huge. Green Bay is coming off that loss. I'm sure they don't want to lose two straight games at home. So this game Monday night, it won't be an easy one. I just can't figure out, you know, sometimes Green Bay look like you can make an argument that they're the best team in football. And then there's times, like you said, the Cleveland game and last week, where, like, where'd the team go that I watched against some of these other teams? So it'd be interesting to see what this is like Monday night.
And it kind of the quarterback and the team reflect each other. I mean, the quarterback, people were talking about MVP a few weeks ago.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And he is really talented. So I think one of the keys to the game is which way is Jordan Love going to go? And Ike, I think you can get him off his spot. I think you can get him moving around and thinking a little bit. He's a good athlete, but he's not a runner. He's not dynamic that way. So I think how they are able to harass the quarterback will be a big story. I think the turnovers are a big story because Philly's only turned it over three times. They've turned it over five. That's 1-2 in the league. Mm. Yet last year in the wild card, you know, Philly turned them over four times. So I think turnovers are a big deal. I think handling Jordan Love and harassing him is a big deal. And offensively, I think the most important thing for this whole season is to just keep developing on offense, show improvement.
Yep. All right. Anybody got anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
You good, brother?
What's that?
You good?
I'm great. I'm great.
Yes.
You're contrarian. You like an argument.
I'm not contrarian. Well,
Let's not go backwards.
Okay, no, okay. We're not going to go backwards. I just want to wrap this up. There are two sides to everything. I can't just come on the air and talk about how good the Eagles are every day.
But they are good, though.
Well, all right. Let me ask you this.
They're boring.
No. Let me ask it. So, Mike, you said you didn't know what Jordan Love threw a bad interception, right? But you don't know what he was looking at. Right, but you can look at it. Jordan Love, who's a talented player, who's a good player, and you can say that was a mistake. Right?
Are you really going to reach here? Are you reaching?
It's not a reach.
Far?
It's not a reach. You
it's
do analysis
such a far
too.
Reach.
All right.
It's such
I
a
love
far
it.
Reach.
But it's not. It's
I got
not.
One last question for you. Then
all right.
You got one. For
sure.
So the we would all give anything for the Phillies and a world championship, wouldn't we?
I would love
yes.
it. Yes.
Oh my God, would we, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yet now we're getting spoiled by another team in this city that's been to two of the last three of them, and you're calling the guy good, not great.
Well, I didn't say good, not great. I mean, that's not
you
what.
Did.
No. Hold on. I didn't come on the air. No, just as a clarification here.
I wrote it down.
My point was not. I did not come on the air and say Howie Roseman is good, not great. You are picking one word.
You said he was a good GM. I have no problem with him. He's a good GM. Well, thanks. That's awesome. Really appreciate it.
No. What I was doing was couching the fact that I had criticisms of what he did, even though I think he's good at his job.
In the pantheon of GM, rank him 1 out of 32. Where is he?
I have no idea. I would have to sit and take a look.
Oh, he's one.
He's certainly at the top of the league.
Yeah.
Whether he's one, two, or three, he's certainly at the top of the league. Sure. Andy Reid's a great coach. You know, he's made plenty of mistakes.
We ran him out of Philly.
He's a great coach. He also partially ran himself out of Philly. He did.
That son of a gun can coach.
He can.
And we couldn't wait to get him out of town. And I was stunned. But anyway,
that's a
whole different conversation.
Sure. And we'll talk about it next week.
Mike, you listen, you and Spike have made Thursdays awesome. I can't even wait to get to next Thursday. Yes. Just to go back at this thing again, man.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you, brother.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP, live today at Chickies and Pete's Birds at the Bye. Go where the players go. Watch all the hockey and basketball action this season for the best in-game experience at the number one sports bar in North America, Chickies and Pete's. We're here all day leading into some guest bartending tonight. And speaking of guests, we got a big one right now, Hugh Douglas, one that joins us today and on Wednesdays moving forward, the lunch hour with Jason Avant.
Oh, that's,
sponsored.
That's the name?
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, did we get, look at us with a fancy name.
We got
name
a fancy name.
The lunch hour.
Sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Doodat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, welcome back to the show, and welcome to the show a little bit more. But before, we're excited to have you, Jason.
I'm so excited to be here. WIP's always given me, you know, so many opportunities. So thank you to Rod and Mike and Dud Hat, everyone that's responsible for me being here. I had a good time with Rob last year on a post-game show. So I'm just happy to be back, and great to see you gentlemen, too.
Well, it's exciting to have you. We got a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot to talk about with a football team, Jason, that is 6-2. So the last time we spoke to you was our rally, right? Right before the season started, day before the Eagles played the Cowboys week one.
Yeah.
So let me throw it at you. The way we started the show today is just talking about the team and kind of where you were then versus where you are now. Now that we have 8 games of data plus the trade deadline, do you feel better about their chances of repeating as Super Bowl champions? Not as good? Worse? Like, where are you compared to where you were when the season began, now that we got the 8 games in the books?
Well, you always start off high because of the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
So you start off high, you're thinking the team's just going to replicate what they did last year, and you start to realize that the NFL adjusts too. They get paid too. The defensive coordinators get paid, and they were able to solve what the Eagles were doing offensively. So then now you're down into the doldrums, like, dude, this doesn't look like anything last year. And then the last 2 games in the trade deadline, you're starting to kick back up. And I feel that's the emotions of most people in the city of Philadelphia. Now that we've seen it, my expectations are rising because the team is getting better. You're seeing position groups get better. You're starting to see an avenue to a championship now.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Jason, when you look at this team and we talk about the hierarchy, not in the NFL, but the NFC.
Okay.
Where do you see the Eagles, right? I know they're defending Super Bowl champions, and you know you got to give them props for that. But as this season plays out and we're at the halfway mark, where do you see them at in the hierarchy of the NFC team?
Well, they're right at the top. They're right at the top. I think them and the Lions are there. The Packers are still I just watched the Packers film, you know, extensively the last 3 games for the Packers, and they have some glaring weaknesses. And so I think the Eagles are there, and they are rising. And so, and then you take the championship pedigree. Team, just think about, like, championship pedigree is such an under value, like, statistic. When it's winning time, when you have that ability to draw on those past experiences, you'll shine in those moments. And a lot of times, teams that hadn't been there will do something to lose the game, sort of like the Jays and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers won that series because of championship pedigree, nothing more. The Jays, you know, figured out a way to lose the game, and that's what'll happen.
Well, I mean, we see that so much in the – I mean, think about the last, 25 years of the NFL. I mean, the Chiefs and Patriots have been those 2 teams, right? Now the Eagles hope to become one of those teams with that championship pedigree. It's there. And, you know, in the NFC, it's interesting, Jason, because there's a couple teams that have gotten close, right? Like the Lions have been in the mix the last couple of years along with the Eagles. The Rams have been in the mix, and they won one with some of that group with the coach and the quarterback and some of those guys. Jason, I'm curious your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks because they feel like the new kid on the block here in the NFC with this group. Are you taking them seriously? Because you look at what you watch some of their games and you see how they're winning and the margin they're winning by, and you look at some of the numbers, and it all says they are legit, but it is a young team. It's a new team. Sam Darnold in particular, their quarterback, has only played the playoffs once. It did not work out well for him last year. What do you think of that team in the mix in the NFC?
I think they're legit. The reason I think they're legit is that Sam is playing at a high level. They protect them pretty good, and their receivers get max separation. Horton, JSN, Cooper Kupp, those guys get max separation. So it makes it a lot easier for the quarterback. And then they're adding Shaheed there, you know, soon. So I think that that team is legit because of the style of football they play. And I think defensively they're doing okay as well.
Are you a little concerned with the fact that Sam Darnold, historically, I know it's happened a few times, he just doesn't show up in the playoffs. Is that somewhat of a concern for you?
Well, if you don't protect him, like, and I think that's every quarterback. Any quarterback that doesn't get production or protection is going to struggle a little bit, especially when you don't have the bat belt of athleticism.
Right.
Right? So if you don't have that ability to escape, you know, when there's, you know, you're down on your luck when it comes to offensive line protection, you're going to struggle when you don't have any other way out. So I think that's just any quarterback that's in that situation. Yes. But I think that they're going to protect for him. As long as you don't turn the ball over in that situation, when you're not getting protection, you'll be fine.
215-592-9494. We're live today. Chickies of Pete, South Philly for Birds the Bay. You can hop on and be part of the show. Talk to Jason, who's hanging out with us this hour. All right, Jason, let's talk about the team and how they've evolved, because it's, you know, sometimes it's a just play better, right? Just play, perform better, be more efficient. And sometimes it's a matter of, hey, more run, less run, more pass. This year, the change that feels so clear is how they're running the offense, what it looks like formationally. They've gone, Jason, from a shotgun team, I mean, for years and years, to, I'm not going to say primarily, but a lot of under center the last couple weeks, and it has worked out really well. So first, let's start with that, and do you think it's going to continue? Is that their identity now? Because it is a major shift. I mean, the Jalen Hurts quarterbacked Eagles have been a shotgun team, and it's been a very good team and a good offense for 5 years. And then in a span of a couple weeks, they've gone the other way at a pretty drastic rate. Your thoughts on how it looks, and do you think they keep going that direction?
Well, the Eagles have finally adjusted, and it's a tough thing to adjust for the Eagles. Let me tell you why. When you win a Super Bowl with one way of doing things, you want to keep doing that for as long as you can.
Yep.
And NFL said, no, you can't handle, you're not going to be able to win a game like this anymore. And the Eagles were stubborn. They kept running their head against the wall and not being able to adapt or adjust. And now they're going under center more, and now they're helping their players out. When you have a guy that's in a position like a Brett Toth, or you have a guy like Tyler Steen, when you're having one-on-ones with them, like it's, you know, Mekhi Becton or Landon Dickerson, you're not putting them into an advantageous situation. But now in these last few ball games, they begin a duo block that's multiple double teams, and now they're working up to the linebackers rather than getting guys one-on-one. You're asking, you know, Brett Toth at center position to go out and get a two-eye. That's an inside shade of the guard. You're asking him to go out there and reach block that. That's very hard for them. Cam Jurgens can do it, but now they're double teaming up and putting them in advantageous situations to win. So I think the Eagles are doing a great job of adjusting now, but they were headstrong. That was the reason the Eagles were struggling, because they were headstrong, looking in the mirror, wanting to be a bully again, but realizing that we're not the same team talent-wise that we were last year.
Yeah, and the thing that stood out to me, Hugh, the last 2 weeks, the Vikings game and then this past game against the Giants, is not that, you know, it worked, right? It was better, it was more efficient. Guys were wide open. I mean, that's the one difference that we are seeing the last few weeks, is they're getting,
would you, like Jason said, separation.
Yes, and I think some, look, we have some great players that can get open on their own, but when you throw in the, because that's what makes, when I watch the Rams and Niners, they have good players, but they're open. Like the formation, the play, the design gets Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, and whoever the Niners have at any given point open. I mean, I've seen Devontae Smith more open the last 2 weeks, Jason, than I've seen him in a while. Not like it feels to me like coming across the line of scrimmage, it's confusing the defense and giving Jalen Hurts some open windows to throw.
Well, Devontae Smith in and of itself will always be open, right, especially if it's man-to-man. But I thought the Eagles did something in the Vikings game. Even though they weren't successful running the ball, 8 out of the first 11 plays were runs. And what that does is that forces the defense to come up. And now what would happen was is that Brian Flores would bring guys up into the line of scrimmage. Now you have one-on-ones outside. But you have to stay committed to the run game in that manner, even if it doesn't work, so you can have those opportunities down the field. And the Giants game, it's just they couldn't handle the rush at all. So, therefore, they were committing everyone toward the line of scrimmage. And Devontae is going to kill you in those situations.
Right.
But one-on-one, he's always open. Now, zone concepts. Kevin Pasulo has not done the best job of zone concepts and calling winners. It's usually one answer that's right in the whole equation, and Jalen has to find that guy rather than multiple being open at once.
So now that we move this thing forward, right, that they look like they've evolved here a little bit and it's changed. The passing game has been way better, I would say, for the past 3 or 4 weeks. It's been better. Do we believe the running game is fixed now? Because that to me, still, that is and was the best part of their team. And if they rev that up, then they could be unbeatable, or they could be clearly the best team in the NFC. But, Hugh, we've only gotten one game of that, right? Like, of the whole year, we've gotten one game where the run game looked dominant. Are you ready to say it's back?
Go ahead. I think matchups matter. And I think
I'm not going to play the Giants anymore. We're going to play some real teams.
No, I was about to say that. Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Green Bay is pretty decent against the run.
They have been, yeah. Now, last week they got beat up by Rico Dowdle and the Panthers.
Yeah, well, I think –
Go ahead.
No, you got it, Jason.
No. So with that, so what Rico Dowdle and the Panthers, Dowdle was able to do in the Panthers game was that they would go off tackle a bunch to start that game. So they were able to get a bunch of toss cracks, and it caused
crack
them
the end.
Yeah, to crack the
that
end.
End and get so, that outside. Get that,
exactly. Yeah, so they ran that play four times. They ran that play four times.
Memories for Hugh Douglas
game.
There.
I know. Yeah. That crack toss, like, yeah. Man.
So, and here's the thing. Guess who started to utilize that the last few ball games? The Eagles are starting to do it more.
And it's
about variety. It's about being able to do things that are different, not just inside zone. Can we gap scheme up to it? Can we, get a jet sweep out of it? We saw that from the Eagles
and
this past
kinda,
week.
They're kind of light on the – and the Green Bay is kind of light on the edges.
On edges, right? So they, and that's what the Panthers are able to do, is get outside of them. So that's one of my keys to the game, is to be able to get outside early so we can get some inside runs later.
Jason. He makes me, like, you know, when you talk to somebody who knows the game inside and out, he made me think about a lot of different things. But matchups do matter.
Yeah.
And if they find a way to emulate that play, because this is a copycat league, they might have a chance. But like you said, it's the Giants playing against the Giants.
Yeah. Okay, it looks better, but, like, it's hard for me to sign off yet and they're back running the ball.
And another thing, like, when it comes to that crack toss, that outside linebacker got to help that defensive end out, too. He got to be like, dog, look crack. You got to play the crack. So it's going to be – this is one of the better running teams they're going to face. And to Jason's point, you have to stay committed to the run. And a lot of times this year, we haven't stayed committed enough to it to sell it. So hopefully that's the case. Sometimes you got to bang your head against the wall a lot, man, in order to get the run game going. Like, you really have to stay committed to it.
Well, and especially if you have a Saquon Barkley, Jason, because he's this close to break. I mean, he can break one at any time, right? We've seen that for 2 years now. We just saw in the Giants game. So I hope they're back running the football. Look, I don't need 260 yards every game. That was an outlier. But if they can go back to being one of the better rushing teams, they're really going to take off here.
I've been calling for this all year as far as variety. The Eagles are just so headstrong in the way that they were able to do things. In these past few ball games, you're starting to see variety from the run game. You got to realize that other people can do different things. And, yes, I need some on the edge from a jet sweep or reverse to keep the defensive ends honest and not crashing down. I need some double team blocks. I need some gap scheme. I need some variation, and that's what the Eagles have done. So I think the running game is on the right trajectory.
Jason Avant with us, going to hang out the lunch hour with Jason Avant, going to be on the show Wednesday. Moving forward, excited to have him today as we're live at Chickies Apiece for Birds at the Bye here. Special day, including some guest bartending later on in the show. Lane Johnson's going to be here. It's awesome. 94WIP.com for details. Come on by Chickies all day. Afternoon show later on, and then Elliot's going to be doing his show from 6 to 8. So when it comes to, you said headstrong was the word you used for the way they ran the offense. What do you think that was? Do you think, is that a coaching thing? You know, there's been stuff out there over the years that maybe Jalen is most comfortable in the shotgun, right? And now they're pivoting. why do you think it took them so long to do something that I think a lot of us were like, hey, change this up? Like, why do you think it took the Eagles 6 weeks to realize something that people have been saying for years, maybe more under center stuff?
Well, just don't – when you got an offensive coordinator off a team that just won a Super Bowl.
So it's about success was so good. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Just don't F it up.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's the mentality. Yeah, yeah. The mentality is like, dude, we don't need you to be a world beater. We don't need you to go out there and be Sean Payton. You don't have that experience, so just don't F it up. Call the same plays.
They worked, right.
And they work. And so you have to figure out a way to bring Kevin Petullo's personality out and not just live on yesterday's success. And, yes, Jalen Hurts probably has some reluctance in getting under center because it's not something that he's so familiar with. Alabama and or Oklahoma, where he was super successful, you don't get under center much. So he probably likes being in the shotgun more. But you start to see the trends in the NFL and how it's harder for defenses to catch up under center, so you do it. But I think that you had to have some failure in order to say, okay, it's not okay for us to do this anymore.
This segment brought to you by Meineke. It's football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, Jason, let's talk through the acquisitions the Eagles have made. Really, it's four, if you include Brandon Graham coming back here. It's four players coming back or adding to this team over the past couple weeks. Let's roll through each of them and your thoughts on how they're going to fit in. Let's start with BG. I mean, we were all excited. You know, everyone loves BG. And I thought last year, even though it was his last year, he still provided something. I still thought he gave a boost when he was out there and he gave them snaps last year. What's your expectation for him considering he has not played, didn't have a training camp, trying to rev this thing back up? Is it fair to expect a similar version of what he was last year, or is even that a lot to expect?
Well, so BG, let's take the injuries out. BG last year at, 36 years old, or however he is now.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, about 36 years old last year, right? So BG was our best defensive end, our best outside linebacker, by far, not even close when it comes to stopping the run, and it also come to big-time plays and making sacks and making plays in the backfield. He was that. And so with that being said, I think if he's healthy at all, even with Jalen Phillips on the team, he probably still is our best defensive end.
Mm.
Like, I'm not saying something about him and the group.
I'm saying if he's healthy.
Yeah, right.
If he's healthy and it'll take him a few weeks to get in shape. But if he can just mimic anything of last year, he'll be our best defensive end.
Now,
when it comes to stopping the run, tackles for loss, and rushing the passer.
Let me ask this because Hugh was on this point. Do you worry with his age, the injuries of overusing? Like, what's the – he can be the best, but doesn't mean you use him for 50% of the snaps. Like, what's the right way to use him? Because I agree with you, the way you assessed his game last year, but I can't ignore that his body might be breaking down, right? And he didn't have a training camp. So is this hey, give us 15 snaps, and you're going to be great 15 snaps?
Hugh can tell you this. That's the thing when you get older. When you get older, it isn't that you can't do it anymore. Your body can't do it anymore, right?
Yeah, your spirit is still there.
The mind is there. And then you have days where you ball.
Right.
And then the next day, you can't get out of bed. It's the nature of the beast.
Hugh's like that on the radio.
Yeah. No, it's like that. I'm telling you, man, it's that bounce back. Because I could probably run around like I could probably run around chicken and peas today, right now, but come tomorrow,
you'll be out of commission, you'll be hurt. So I don't know if a snap count is the answer. What I would say is that you go out, well, maybe to start, snap count's the answer to start. But as the games go on, you want to just use him in critical situations. Like there's closers, just like in baseball or me in position. I didn't get on the field until third down or fourth down.
Specialist,
so they're specialists, right? So you have to use Brandon Graham in those specialty situations where you need stops, you need a big play. That's when he comes in. Maybe to finish a ball game, you may need him as a closer. Like the sixth man, the Manu Ginobili, he never starts a game, but he'll be in there when you finish. And I think that's who Brandon Graham should be.
And you could trust him. You want to be able to trust those players in those spots. All right, how about the two corners? Because they were the first acquisitions. We'll get to Jalen Phillips in a second. Both interesting from different perspectives. So Michael Carter has been primarily a slot corner in the NFL, but we have Cooper DeJean, so you wonder how they're going to use him. And then Jair Alexander, who at one point was a star, Jason, and it's really just fallen very quickly for him. He's not old. He's 28. You would think there's still something left in his body. John Ritchie's very excited about him because thinks there's something still there. your thought on the two corners they brought in and how they might be used.
Well, I think this is just optimal use for Vic Fangio. Like, this is one of those situations where you give the secondary variety. You don't have to worry about Kelee Ringo. You don't have to worry about Adoree Jackson being hurt every 2 seconds, right? So you have these guys where you have Michael Carter. If you want to put Cooper DeJean on the outside, you can do that. And Michael Carter is physical, and he likes to tackle. He did get his spot taken, and he did have some problems in coverage this past year. So you can't say that he's like a world beater. Right. But given the defense coordinator Vic Fangio is, I know that he can bring out his optimal use. Now, Jaire Alexander is one of those guys that we saw play really well, but, you know, hadn't got one stop this entire year when it comes to just pass targets, right? Every pass that's been thrown on him has been caught.
It's not what you want to hear.
That's not something that you want to hear. You just hope that it's one of those situations where him and the defensive coordinator, him and the secondary coach did get along. And when you get long in the tooth as a player, you get more disagreeable. That's how it is. The stuff that I used to do when I was a rookie, yes, coach, yeah. And when I got 30 years old, I wanted to debate and I wanted to have a conversation about this. It was a little back and forth, yeah. Right? And then some coaches are not going to like that. So hopefully it's one of those situations where there was just a disgruntled player not getting along with the organization, but we won't know until he gets in here. We know that he can play. Will he be better than Adoree Jackson? Yeah. Will he be better than Kelee Ringo? Yeah. So I think all of it is positive going forward.
Now the big one, at least the one I consider the big one, is Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins. A couple years ago, Jason, looked like he was on the path to stardom. I mean, he had 6.5 sacks in November. He tears his Achilles. That was Vic Fangio's year in Miami. And then he's never quite been the same. He had a knee injury. Now he's come on the last few weeks and about a month here playing really good football, so maybe his body's back. But he's a guy who was a first-round pick. He's got all the talent in the world, and he's playing for a contract. Feels to me like he's got a chance to be a big part right away when he gets in there.
Yeah, he should know this defense, yep. You know, like the back of his hand. And so I would like to see him do better in one. He gets a lot of one-on-ones for the production that he has, right? So usually when you're a dominant pass rusher, you're going to get some chips, you're going to get some of that. From watching tapes, everyone feels like they can block him one-on-one. And then when it comes to guard pulls, he isn't – we've seen Nolan Smith lacing people out.
Oh, the Super Bowl, that guy's still shaking.
Yeah, no, and you know, what was it? Was it Elgin Jenkins?
Yes,
we've seen Nolan Smith lay guys out in those situations. You pull to Jalen Phillips, it's a little bit of pillow fight there.
Okay.
Like, you know, so there are some times
it's not good to be a defensive end.
No, wait.
No, I know what you're saying.
It's only with guards pulling. It's like he kind of tempers down. He doesn't go full speed into
it. You got to knock them guards out.
Back. But he does dominate tight ends. He does dominate fullbacks. And he has a great one-arm stab. Like, that's his go-to move. He has a great one-arm stab. So I think there's some high upside to him. I hope Vic Fangio can get him out, you know, get it out of him.
It reminds me of Hassan Reddick a little bit, the way you talked. Like, the way Hassan played, the way you talked. But look,
he's not as athletic as Hassan. Let's get some, because Hassan can bend way better than Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips is a big dude, doesn't bend like that.
He's 6'5", 260.
Yeah,
he's
huge. So he can't bend like Hassan.
Yeah, he's going to – if Nolan Smith gets back healthy and Jalen Phillips, they're going to have more ability to get to the quarterback than they have in a while here.
Let's turn to one of our favorites. He does an unbelievable job. Chronicling the Eagles on a day-by-day basis, of course, for NBC Sports Philadelphia and for us as well here on WIP. And we welcome our guy, Rube and Frank. Rube, good morning, pal.
Hey, guys. How's it
going? Rube!
Rube!
Great to be here.
Man, Rube, always good seeing you.
Joe,
man.
Real quick, can I just give a thank you to Rube? Because you probably don't know this, but Rube is responsible for one of the great moments in our show this year. The reason Dave Ossekinen called into our show was because Rube and Frank directed him in the right direction. He got to Ruben first, and thus Ruben got him on our show.
I appreciate so you and
shout
him
out are, to Ruben.
You friends with the Hooters, Ruben?
Well, you know, Dave and I go back. I play with his side project In the Pocket. We play at Ardmore a few times a year, and the bar band. We play at 118 North. So I play keyboards with him. Great guy, great musician. Just saw the Hooters a couple of weeks ago. I know you were over there.
Yeah, it was great. By the way, I've been in 118 North many times. If I randomly stumbled in there and saw you playing,
you'd think you were in like a Twilight Zone.
I'd be even more drunk.
Yeah, you know, that could happen. That might happen.
No, I'm playing around. All good, Ruben. That's awesome, man. So thank you for your help with that. That's good work.
Great guy.
So, Ruben, let's start with the Twitter poll question today. And we want to round out the question about the teenagers part of yesterday's show, best fictional teenage character. But, Ruben, I want to start with this Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2026 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $22,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Here's the question, Ruben. Aside from Jalen Phillips, who should certainly have the biggest impact the remainder of the season of the recent new addition, which of these three do you think will have the biggest impact, positive impact? Jair Alexander, Michael Carter, or Brandon Graham?
BG. Not even close.
Is that because of off-field and on-field?
No, or it's because
purely on-field you think is the biggest impact?
It's a lack of faith in the two cornerbacks, first of all. And, look, BG, he was playing pretty well last year before he got hurt. And the way he keeps himself in shape, and he's had, like, his own personal, like, six-week training camp here. I'm not under any illusions. It's the BG of, like, his prime. But I think he'd give you, like, 15 really good snaps. He's good against the run. His effort is obviously the locker room stuff, the leadership stuff is nice. He's here because he can play, and he can help this defense.
What's the best combination of Eagles secondary, Ruben? Who plays where? Who are the five players?
Yeah, it's a funny question because there's so many different options now. I don't have a lot of faith in Jair Alexander. I don't have a lot of faith in Michael Carter until I see him do it, because these are both guys that cost you nothing. Bad teams didn't want him around. They couldn't get on the field for last-place teams. I'll tell you what, I would love to see Cooper as a full-time outside corner, but I just don't think they have the slot. Unless Michael Carter can turn back the clock a few years, it might just be Keely Ringo at outside corner.
That'd be disappointing.
It might just be Keely Ringo at outside corner, because it's like these guys that we haven't seen are all of a sudden better than the guys that we have seen.
Yeah.
And Keely, at least, I think there's something there. And Vic really likes him. He's got great size and speed. He just hasn't been able to play consistently. Thought he played well in the second Giants game. I think that might be the best lineup, and there isn't an ideal one.
No, I can't even imagine.
There isn't an ideal. They don't have that guy. I mean, they just
so they're lacking the fifth player, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easy to say, oh, Jair Alexander. It's not 2022 anymore.
Right, I'm well aware.
You're right, yeah. But Jair Alexander, the experience that
can't
he
play.
Has, it doesn't necessarily work against
John, you're not them. Listening to anybody all saying the same thing.
Sheil, Ross, and Rube.
Plus me, we'll Rhea, see. And Seltzer. Everyone's saying the exact same
you're right.
thing.
We'll see. We'll see.
He and was Jaws. So Jaws yesterday is like, he ain't Eric Allen. He was there was so, a point there.
He was so gifted.
I know he was. But, but I mean, so was Hassan Reddick 3 years
in
ago.
In every way. Like, being you know? Able to do
so was
everything
James,
you
nobody James loses Bradbury. Saying,
yeah, so was I'm James saying, Bradbury.
James Bradbury was an all-pro one season and when, then literally the worst player we've ever seen the next year.
No, nobody being, loses it quicker than cornerbacks.
Okay, but when
you lose
go,
half a step, you can't play anymore.
Wow. Okay, but when you go from being essentially Darrell Revis to an older version of yourself, you can lock it down pretty well in some zone looks when you're aided by Vic Fangio's expertise. You know, when you're found, when you're aided by a bolstered pass rush that now has, you know, essentially three new players.
Or when you're aided by Pollyanna.
I'm telling you, it's
all right. By the way,
it's going to be easier for him with a smart defensive coordinator working with what he's best at.
All right, so we got John, Rhea, Seltzer. We got Ruben Frank here at Chickies and Pete's, and, of course, Ross Tucker with us as well. Ross, let me ask you this question. I threw this to Sheil earlier, and I really don't know which way this one goes. I'm curious your answer, Ross. So last year we saw an all-time Saquon, meaning an all-time running back. I mean, one of the great running back seasons of all time. This season we've seen pretty pedestrian. Obviously, the offensive line ills played a big part in that. Do you think second half of the season, Saquon will, because he's probably going to be in between the two, but do you think he'll be closer to last year he's freaking Jim Brown? I mean, let's call it Marshall Faulk. Do you think he's going to be closer to last year he's Marshall Faulk, or do you think he's going to be closer to this year where he's
not a good enough receiver to compare him to?
Well, yeah, okay, you're right. You know what
LaDainian
I'm saying.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, but bottom line is, you know, do you think he's going to be all-timer guy? Or pedestrian guy, which is he closer to the remainder of the year, Russ?
I'm going to go by the last game, and in particular, how the offensive line played and how Saquon looked in that game. And obviously, he's not going to be what he was last year, but I'll say I'm a optimistic person, glass half full person. So I'll say more that way. The concern, though,
well, the concern, Russ, the concern is seven of the last eight games he hasn't been that.
No, I
That's
know.
That's the concern. But seven out of eight.
Yeah, but when you say you're not putting enough on the offensive line. He's got plenty of juice We saw that on the long touchdown run. He still has that explosive ability. That was by far the best the offensive line played against the Giants. That group needs to play to their standard. They've been, until that game, they were average at best this year. And that's the biggest reason why he had those huge holes. Do you see how bad he made that safety look for the Giants? He obliterates safety angles if they can get him to that level.
Rube, you agree with him?
And that was without Cam Jurgens. That was a Brett Toth out there. So I completely agree with Ross for once. I mean, the O-line, I think it's the same Saquon. I think you can see that. I mean, when there's been holes, he's looked like the same guy. He just hasn't had anywhere to run. I'm completely confident that when this O-line, and they're getting to the point, I think Landon's getting healthier. When Cam comes back, and hopefully that's Monday night, I think this O-line is going to be kind of close to what, look, Mekhi Becton they miss, and certainly in the run game. Tyler Steen's not Mekhi Becton as a run blocker.
No, he's not.
But when this O-line is 100%.
And as a pass protector, he can be such a liability.
By the way, Becton's gotten hurt multiple times this year, guys, just so you know.
Yeah,
yeah, really? I'm just comparing Tyler Steen to what Becton did last year.
No, I know.
I'm not saying they should have paid him, you know, $20 million. I still think Tyler Steen's not the long-term answer at right guard. But anyway, I
agree with that. I don't think he is either.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best that they have now.
Yeah, but it's not as good as I wish it was.
All right, it's 215-592-9494 for you to jump in to the conversation. 2 hours down, two to go as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's. Of course, the station's got going to be here 10, 12 hours. The station's here until 8 o'clock tonight.
I might stay for the whole thing.
You should, as you should.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.